Good morning. First of all, thank you for coming. It's a very cold day. Sometimes when I'm walking over in the cold, is anybody going to show up? You did. So thank you very much for being here to pray with me. You know, in the first reading in our gospel today, we just heard two stories of God speaking directly to people. I remember God wanting to speak to me directly when I was discerning my vocation to the priesthood some 30-some years ago. As a Purdue student, I would make my way to the Blessed Sacrament Chapel at the Newman Center, and I would pray so hard with eyes closed and fists clenched and wrinkled forehead, wondering what God wanted me to do and why he just didn't tell me directly. I begged for advice. I got nothing. I didn't want much. I would have completely been satisfied if God, you know, had sent an airplane with a sign flapping behind that said, "Richard, I want you to be a priest." Just that. I got nothing. God seemed so quiet and remote and even disinterested in my drama. One day in frustration, I grabbed an old beaten-up Lives of the Saints book on a shelf in the chapel, hoping for some guidance from the saints. And I found and read a story about a saint who prayed. I wish I knew who it was. I could never find it. Like I was praying, just like I was praying, but in the Orans position of prayer, which is indicating the surrender to the will of God. And one day, this, as the story goes, in this saint's life, a rose dropped down from heaven. And I thought, sounds good to me. Come to me. I decided to give it a try myself, and for the better part of 2 weeks, I prayed this way in the Orans position of prayer, hoping for my rose. Then I prayed for a wildflower, and then a dandelion, and then maybe a plastic flower like you see at the cemetery. I got nothing. And looking back, my hands were speak of an abandonment, but my heart was anything but. I was duking it out with the God of the universe, trying to map out my life as I saw it. But God wasn't much interested in my plan. So I think the question for today is, does God really speak to people? And does he speak to us? The first problem I think we have in answering that question is this. Let's face it, there's a lot of crazy people out there. Many of us have experienced delusional people who seem very sure that God speaks to them, and some report wild messages that simply aren't from God. Statements like, "God told me that it would be okay to leave my spouse and children and move in with my secretary." People actually say that to me. "No, he didn't," I say, wagging my finger in the air. Or, "God told me that I don't have to come to Mass anymore. I can just watch it on television or on my computer in bed." And I say to them, "Wrong answer. You got to come to Mass." Most times, the delusional message we have are rooted in selfishness, confusion, even anxiety or mental illness. In other words, we're human. We can all deceive ourselves or be deceived by others, even the devil. And plenty of people manage to convince themselves that they're on God's side or God is on their side, and unfortunately they're mistaken. Terrorists, for example, who say that God directed them to do something, or crooked politicians. But the fact that people make mistakes and hear other voices and think it's God's doesn't mean that God isn't speaking to us, that we can't hear his voice in the modern day. Opening ourselves up to God's voice takes his help and our effort in return. Look at the readings that we read today, especially the first one. For Samuel, someone literally living in the temple day and night with nothing else to focus on except for service to God, hearing God's voice wasn't easy. It took time, humility, and prayer. And above all, it took good advice from an experienced friend who believed that just maybe the voice that Samuel was hearing was God's. Here's one thing that stands in our way of hearing God. Many of us have decided that God is rarely and unpredictably available to communicate to us, that he's too busy with important people like the Pope or cloistered nuns that pray all day. But it's really more accurate to say that we're the ones who are rarely and unpredictably available to God. God tries almost everything to reach us, to get our attention, and we fail to be open to him. We're too busy. We're too scattered. We're too distracted by social media, the computer, whatever. We're loud. Or maybe we don't quite get how he speaks to us. God can speak to us in a single word that wakes us up in the middle of the night, the way it was for Samuel. Or God can be the voice that asks you, what are you looking for? The way it was for the disciples in today's gospel. God's word might come from someone you love, some casual statement that pushes you in a direction that you didn't expect, or an annoying suggestion that someone you don't love at all, and you realize that it's God asking you to reconsider some aspect of your life. God can come to us in a sudden awareness of injustice that you thought wasn't your business. It is now calling you to take a stand against anger or hatred or offenses against human life. Even the times you're asking God questions and you think you hear nothing, I know from experience now that those times can be preparation, that God's helping you with the question you're asking until you realize one day his answer has arrived, and equally as important, that the time is right for you to be open to it and understand it. But how do you know it's God speaking to you? That we're the ones, that we're not one of those people who are turning to some other voice in the world and saying it's God's voice. The answer is we give it time. We test it against Jesus that we see in the scriptures and in the tradition of the church. We get advice and listen to trusted friends. We retreat to a place where we think we might find openness to encounter God in silence. And above all, we keep asking God to come to us again and again, to be near to us as we try to hear the Jesus of the gospel who is present still today in our lives. I heard God through people, my college roommates who could see me changing. I heard the voice of God through one of my few college girlfriends when she asked me on a date if I was thinking about going to be a priest. Wow, that is just a zapper of romance. I also heard God in suffering when my family experienced sickness, pain, and death. I asked different questions. And in exhaustion, I opened myself up to him like never before when I spoke the Oron's position of prayer for real. And in frustration, as a 22-year-old college student, I shook my fist in the air and said, you know, sometimes I don't get you, but I give up. Just tell me what to do. And all of a sudden, there was clarity. It wasn't an eloquent prayer. It'll never be printed in a book. But it was honest. And his answer was profound. And I received peace and consolation and direction that I'd been looking for. And even 4 decades later, I trust what I heard and shaped my life around it. It's a very haunting question in the gospel today when Jesus simply asks, what are you looking for? There's sometimes only one answer that comes in response, that we want to be close to God. And further, we want to hear his voice. We want to know what to do, and we don't want to suffer eternal consequences because we weren't listening. If that is what we're looking for, someday you will realize it if you persevere in prayer. And for the record, it's much closer than we usually think when we act like adults and not like selfish children. Let us make Samuel's response our own on this second Sunday of Ordinary Time. And that is, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And then let us actually listen.